This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of radio drama from the golden age of radio, this is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, thanks for joining me again this Tuesday. I'm going to start this week with Voyage of the Scarlet Queen, an episode from January 28, 1948, titled The Bubble Dancer and the Buccaneers. Then it's a quick Incredible But True and Familiar Streets before The Key, an episode titled Extension of Time, first aired in 1956.
Entry, The Catch Scarlet Queen, Philip Kearney, Master. Position, 3 degrees, 12 minutes north, 100 degrees, 20 minutes east. Wind brisk, sky overcast. Remarks, departed Penang after discharging cargo and non-paying passengers. Reason for free passage, the Bubble Dancer and the Buccaneers. Days that had passed since we'd cleared Singapore Harbor, weather conditions had changed from calm and fair to roaring gale. And on the fifth night, we were still feeling our way northward through the Malacca Strait.
What a night, Skipper.
You can have it, mate. This is the sloppiest weather we've had since we left the state.
Oh, go on below and get something dry on outside of you and something wet inside of you, Skipper. I'll take over.
Okay, Red. I can use both. I made a few steps toward the cabin passageway when a hail from the bow lookout stopped me.
Hail, where? Now! Take the plank forward to Port Clark! Call it again, Nielsen! And take the plank to Port Clark!
He's reporting right to him, Red. We're farther out of position than I thought. There it is. The devil, there's a string of them. It's quiet, right at the harbor.
The harbor. Well, we can use it. Please be
praised. Take that ship away!
Yeah, Nielsen!
Take your trap forward, sir!
Yeah! What you got, Nielsen?
I'm not sure, sir. It looks like a life raft!
It was a life raft, all right. There wasn't much life left in the single passenger when we got her aboard.
All right, easy there. Yeah, we'll get her here between us.
Never mind, men. Yeah. Better put her down in the lee of this hatch.
Right,
she wasn't in shape to be carried anyplace.
Yeah.
I knew when I saw the reddened water that dripped from her clothing that she was suffering from more than exposure.
Pee-wee.
She was dying from bullet wounds.
Pee-wee. Machine guns. Don't go, machine guns.
What?
Stay away. The lights.
No, you're all right. We'll get you ashore as soon as we can. We're heading right for the harbor.
Oh, there is no harbor.
Now, just take it easy. Try to rest.
Oh, listen. I'm all right. I know what I'm saying. Those lights.
What about them?
The ship wrecked following those lights. They were machine guns. Everybody killed.
What?
There's no harbor. Some kind of trap. Those lights. They're rocks. Rocks.
Yeah. Hey, stand by to come about! Start her about, Red! Start her about if she jives! We're bearing down on a reef!
And so Mutual continues The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen, written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tallman, and starring Elliot Lewis. The Scarlet Queen, proudest ship to plow the seas, bound for uncharted adventure. Every week a complete entry in the log, and every week a league further in the voyage of the Scarlet Queen.
Leave her here on deck, Skipper?
I'll have the crew wrap her in some sailcloth. I'm afraid that's the best we can do for her now.
What was the name of the ship, did she say?
No. You know what she kept talking about while she could talk?
No, what?
About keeping us off that reef. That's all she talked about.
Hmm.
It's a trap of some kind.
Those boys...
Those boys are strung out to fool you into thinking it's a safe harbor, but they lead right to a reef.
Oh, and that's how her ship was wrecked.
Then when the poor guys tried to land, they were machine gunned. And what she said, somebody was operating a big light ashore, picking off all the survivors like clay pigeons.
Sounds like salvage pirates, doesn't it?
Sounds like it. What else?
What is that joint, you know?
No, I'm not so sure of our position in this weather. I haven't had a sextant sight since yesterday. I'm afraid we have to lay to out here until the weather clears before we can find out.
I don't suppose it matters much what the place is, does it, Skipper? Anybody'd be... They'd be crazy to go in there to investigate with a flock of machine guns waiting for them. Wouldn't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
What would they get out of it outside a shot of?
That's right. Well, why don't you pour another drink, Skipper?
Yeah, sure, Rick. You know, one way you look at it, she saved the queen.
She... the lady.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Maybe even our lives.
Yeah, but we'd be nuts to bust in there and get a ship full of slugs and get knocked around.
Sure. None of our business if somebody's got a paying deal working.
No.
They got her ship, but they didn't get ours. That's what counts.
Yeah. We got a time contract on the cargo we got aboard, haven't we? Yeah. We'd lose a lot of money even if we were only one day late getting to Penang. Isn't that right? How much?
$500.
What?
We'd lose $500.
I'll split it with you, Skipper.
The devil you will, Gary.
Well, I meant it.
My
want...
ship, she saved.
Yeah.
I'll take the loss. Oh. Did you think I'd sail away and leave that death trap in operation? Who's ever behind those phony lights is going to have some visitors. Morning broke grim and lowering. The wind had lightened. We stood in toward the island. Giant rocks with razor-sharp edges crouched near the shore like sea monsters with open jaws. We saw the false buoyage leading straight for the rocks. One light even mounted on a cliff ashore. And some wreckage from a ship bobbed in the water. The cliff that faced us had blotted out any view of the other side of the island. But when we started to circle it, we found the real anchorage. A small bay rimmed by a strip of beach. Then out of the brush that bordered the beach, there swarmed the mangiest group of men I've ever seen. Moros, Malays, mongrels. About 20 of them. Armed to the teeth.
Captain Kearney, sir, there they are. Shall we open fire?
No, hold it, Nelson.
What kind of reception is that? They're waving to us. I don't trust them, Skipper. It's another trick.
Don't worry, Gallagher. I don't trust them either. But you can't open fire on a guy's face when he's holding out his hand to shake you.
Yeah, well, they aren't shaking mine. Look at them. The scum of the sea. And those aren't lay Yankees they're waving.
No, they're well armed. Then why didn't they take cover so they could ambush us when we come ashore? Why show themselves and offer a perfect target?
They're tricky, Skipper.
That tall one there, the big guy without a shirt, he must be the boss, huh?
Yeah. Look at him grin. You'll be grinning without those teeth.
Go tell the crew to stay out of sight and stand by, Red. You and I will put the small boat over the side.
Okay, lay off. Lay off the boat.
We can get it up on the beach ourselves.
Spotted from the deck. His features were Korean and scarred. He was built like a wedge from his narrow hips up to his heavy shoulders. The build had spelled trouble.
All right, you men, go on to what you want.
But his greeting made me wonder what kind of trouble.
Welcome, gentlemen. You wasted no time in accepting my invitation, especially considering the storm.
Yeah. Some people weren't so lucky in that storm.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we did catch a little something in our trap last night. Not much, but it helps. But you, of all men, know how that is, huh?
Yeah, every little bit helps, huh?
Exactly, Captain. Since my ship was smashed on this reef, I've been hard put for profitable occupation. And the salvage work makes me feel that I'm accomplishing something.
Yeah, nice you can keep your hand in.
Yeah. Just how many ships have you collected?
Half a dozen. All small, but they add up. Sometimes my friend, the sea, sends them to me. And sometimes I, Kim, have to give my old friend a hand.
So you rigged the lights, huh, Kim?
Right. Last night's accident was literally a windfall. Coming as it did on the eve of your arrival.
Yeah. Nice stroke of luck.
A little rough on the crew, maybe, but...
Oh, come, my friend. You two are all the sailors as practical as I am, from what I've heard about you. Now, come on, here's the trail to the cat.
Yeah, sure. Tell me, exactly what have you heard about it?
Don't be modest, Captain. Your reputation has preceded you. That's why I was so sure you'd accept my proposition. All three of us have the same appreciation for the prophets of the high seas.
The three of us?
What a trio. I, Kim, the most clever salvage artist of the China coast. And you. Aha.
Yeah, what about us?
Only the most infamous buccaneers of the South Pacific. And I suppose I should feel greatly honored that two such celebrated pirates come when I ask them to.
Oh, now look, you're overdoing it a little, aren't you, Kim?
Hardly, Mr. McPherson. Every skipper in these waters is afraid of Cash Wilson and Scotch McPherson. But tell me, Wilson, how did you and your first mate manage to respond to my proposition so soon? Huh?
Well, it was a matter of luck. A good ship and a good helmsman, McPherson.
Yes, I envy you that ship. One reason I made my offer was the reputation of your catch.
I hope you don't have any salvage ideas.
Yeah, a couple of men did.
We'll make this the fair partnership. Char and char alike. Well, Wilson, do we understand each other?
Now, let me get this straight, Kim. We provide the ship, huh?
I thought that was agreed.
What have you got to offer?
Well, like I explained in the message, salvage worth a good price in certain ports. Now, everything is packed and ready to load aboard your ship. It shouldn't take more than a couple of hours. And then we'll leave.
I see.
Go on, go to it!
Don't go ahead, go to come out, boy. Sit quiet, hide the Mexico, hey. Then, no, it's all right.
Miss McPherson?
Captain Wilson?
You better help Mr. Choi. See that he finds everything okay on the ship.
Yeah. I'll go ahead, McPherson, and see that they get started with the loading.
Yeah, okay. Red.
What's the deal, Skipper? What kind of game is this we're playing? Who am I?
I gather you're my mate, and you and I have built up a reputation in these parts as a couple of grade-A pirates.
Oh, that's great. Just great. Well, I guess we better figure something out before somebody hangs us from a yard arm.
Red. Let them go on with their loading. If we can get them all aboard, we'll lock them in a hold and give a nice, fast passage to the British authorities in Penang.
Yeah, but let's hope they don't tumble. That we're not Wilson and McPherson.
All right, stick with them while they're loading the small boat, Red. Get aboard before they do and tip off the crew. Tell them they never heard of Gallagher or Carney. You got to play it this way.
Okay.
Hold it. Huh? Here comes the Russo-Korea. Okay, McPherson, get started.
Okay, I'll see you down there.
Right. It will require about 20 trips in this small boat, Captain.
Oh, okay, Kim. My crew will stow this stuff as your boys put it aboard. McPherson will handle it.
Good, good. Well, that leaves you and me a few hours of leisure in which to get acquainted. Wilson, I can tell you that we're looking forward to getting a deck under our feet again after 3 months of rotting ashore.
Yeah, I can see how you would.
Come with me, Wilson. I believe I have a little surprise for you.
Another?
A pleasant one, I'm sure. This way. It's only a few short steps. Mind the brush.
Wow. This, I take it, is headquarters.
Yes. It is humble, but we're involved in the way of life here. Most of the ships that were unfortunate enough to run aground here were well outfitted, while unfortunately we were not quite able to rescue any of the passengers or crews. We were able to rescue some furniture, even cookstoves and generators for power and light. Here we are, Wilson. What do you think?
Quite a housing project.
Built entirely of salvage materials.
Uh-huh. And this little mansion is where you bunk.
If it seems a bit pretentious, there's a reason. As you know.
I have no doubt.
Su Ling not only demands these comforts, in my opinion, she deserves them.
Su Ling?
No other. I imagine you're looking forward to seeing her again, huh?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I understand that you were old friends. Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Go right in. Well, Su Ling, here is your old friend, Captain Wilson.
Captain Wilson?
She was Chinese and young, in a rough cotton shirt, loose cotton trousers. She looked at me. My hand was moving toward my automatic. She looked at Kim. His fingers were already wrapped around his. Then she looked back at me as if she was waiting for one of us to start something.
Your old friend, my lotus blossom.
But not like my old friend at all.
What is this?
No, you're not acting at all like Cash Wilson I know.
Explain yourself, my dream of love.
Cash, for heaven's sake, is this the way to greet an old friend?
I'm sorry, Su Ling. It's just that
Well, that's more like it. Come here, Cash. Let me look at you.
Yeah. Sure. And let me look at you. Baby, you're more beautiful than I realize.
You have not changed, Cash. Still the same sweet liar. But I love it, darling. I really love it.
Yeah. How long has it been, anyway?
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh, 4 years at least, I guess, hasn't it?
That long?
The old Manchu Temple on Grant Avenue.
Yeah.
You know how I met this barnacle sea dog, Kim?
By heart, my passion flower. You were doing your...
My artistic oriental interpretive dance. And he broke my balloon with a lighted cigarette. You remember, Cash?
Yeah. I was quite the cut-up in those days.
Well, don't stop now. My husband is a very understanding man. Are you not, Kim?
Very understanding. Up to a point, my lotus blossom.
Well, would you tell me about yourself, Cash? As if I haven't heard.
Well, I guess the word does get around, huh?
You have made quite a name for yourself.
Yeah, I have. Made quite a name for myself.
Well, I owe you an apology, Wilson. For just a moment there, it occurred to me that perhaps you are not Cash Wilson at all.
What gave you that crazy idea?
And the fact that you made no mention of Su Ling after coming here from Singapore on her behalf.
I wasn't quite sure of you either, Kim. I found it pays to be careful in this.
You're right, Wilson. Well, now that I've given you your little surprise, I trust you and my angel of beauty have some old memories to relive for a few minutes. I'd like to have a few words with Mr. McPherson. You'll join me when you're ready.
Yeah, all right. Well, well, here we are, huh, Su Ling?
Listen, I do not care who you are. I must talk to you.
Where can I meet you later? I can't leave him alone with my mate. I gotta get down there.
Meet you right after dark on the beach at the north end of the bay on the blinker.
All right, gorgeous. It's a date. How are we doing, McPherson?
Going all right. Skipper will be loaded by sundown.
Good, and we'll leave at dawn.
We'll have to destroy the voyage. I don't like loose in.
Oh, that's easy. Punch of the boys will let the sea cover up for us.
How about the big light up on those rocks?
Never mind. It was here when we came. It's a ship blinker. Who knows? It may serve a useful purpose in some future emergency. It may even save a life.
You're getting charitable, Kemp.
I'm a very charitable man when it does not interfere with my profit.
Ah, you got a great code of ethics.
Like your own, Wilson, it serves my purpose. And I'm honest in my way. That's why I don't bother to remove that blinker light. It's the property of others.
By nightfall, the job was done. The cargo was aboard. And the last boatload of Kim's crew, supervised by Gallagher, were rowing out to the Queen. Kim headed for the camp for a final checkup. I slipped out of sight and started up the beach. Su Ling was waiting for me at the end of the bay.
They are gone?
Yeah. They're all aboard but Kim. He went up to the camp.
And he's looking for me. Listen, Captain, whoever you are.
Used to be Phil Kearney, and I'm sorry I didn't meet you behind your bubble in that Grand Avenue dive funeral. Say, who is this guy Cash Wilson?
The worst man I ever knew, except my husband. They certainly deserve each other. That is why I took Jesse Wilson in the first place.
You were the one who wanted to bring him together?
Yes, I had a reason. I got Kim to send two of our natives in handmade tampon to Singapore. They had message from me asking Wilson to come. I had my idea. Of course, Kim had his.
Mm-hmm. What's the rest of the deal?
As soon as he gets aboard, Kim plans to take over your ship.
Yeah?
You know what for?
I'm beginning to catch on.
To use as his own for piracy.
Well, that doesn't surprise me somehow. Where'd you find a nice guy like that to marry?
I would have gotten rid of him. You had not interfered.
Me interfered? This island could have been in anybody's way. What do you mean?
I talked him into sending for Cash Wilson because I knew they would be at one another's throat over me. And I knew Cash would win. Even that would be better than Kim. And then you show up.
I'm sorry, Su Ling. No matter how you look at it, I'm sorry.
So why don't you kill him? I warn you. You know what he's going to do? Stop him and get me away from him.
You know I might just do that, Gordon. He doesn't know it, but that's what we came in here for.
You do not know it, Captain Kearney. But I am glad to learn of it before it's too late.
No.
Careful, Captain. There's no truer gun than this.
Then wait.
First, him? Captain Kearney, I must ask you to hand over your gun. Quickly.
Yeah.
And you, Su Ling, were planning to get rid of me, huh?
No.
Well, I want to thank you for relieving me of you.
No, Jim. No, Jim.
Don't cry. I don't like it. I don't like crying. I said don't cry. Don't cry.
I was on top of him before he could turn back to me. As quick as he was, I hadn't counted on the strength that he had. But I learned in the space of a few seconds. His right arm was a club and it sent me collapsing into the brush. I didn't go back to the beach. All I could think of was getting away. I ran for a few yards. Then I realized that I was stopped. The cliff loomed ahead of me. I had to turn and face Kim's bullets or climb. I climbed. I dragged myself upward, putting my hands where there was no place to grip. Putting my feet where there was no foothold. When Kim stopped firing, I knew why he was starting up the cliff after me.
You won't get away, Connie!
I moved faster. It reached the top and scrambled over the edge. Then I stopped. The big blinker light was a few feet away, blinking out in the straight. The light that Kim had so charitably said might save someone's life. Kim was nearing the top now. I could hear him scrambling up the cliff. I got to the light. I swung it around. I put my shoulder to it.
tilted it down till it shone into his eyes.
Tell me, what are you doing?
Blinded by the thousands of candle power, he hesitated momentarily long enough for me to pry loose a boulder with my heel. I kept the light in his face.
I'll get you yet.
I worked the boulder to the edge.
I'll get you.
It balanced for a moment, and then I sent it crashing down. Tim reacted to the sudden pain and missed his foothold. He plunged to the rocks below.
We didn't wait for dawn. With the incoming tide, we left the bay and headed out into Malacca Strait with more cargo than we'd entered with. The next afternoon, we docked at Penang, discharged our cargo consigned and salvaged, turned our free passengers over to the authorities, and stood out with empty holds in an order to pick up Silicon in Surabaya. There was a good fresh breeze sweeping out from the Malay Peninsula, going to waste and eager to be caught. Gallagher shouted the crew to the job of catching it.
Stop it, chief! Make sail!
The mainsail climbed into place and blossomed out, caught with wind. The jibs went out. Then the mizzen. And the Scarlet Queen, light in the hull from lack of cargo ballast, took a frivolous pitch and skipped like a schoolgirl onto her course.
Well, Captain Wilson?
Any sign of some good pirate loot?
That wasn't funny, Red. That Kim wasn't kidding.
No, I know he wasn't, Skipper. I was just trying to cheer you up.
Did he really mean to kill her, or was that a wild shot he was throwing at you?
It wasn't wild.
Yeah, well, you kind of paid it off, didn't you?
Not the way I would have liked to. I was a little late.
Oh, come on, Skipper. There's a bright side. The Peninsula Company didn't fine us for being late with that cargo. And those cops thanked us for what we did. And we didn't go onto that reef ourselves.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it, Red.
Yeah.
The Queen wouldn't have looked so good hung up on those rocks.
That's right. And we can thank that poor dame on the life raft for saving the Queen.
And our necks, too.
You know, Skipper, we get saved every once in a while by a woman.
Yeah, well, they're kind of handy to have around once in a while.
But I like the one we got around all the time.
Yeah, I'll bet.
To the Queen, Skipper.
To the Scarlet Queen. After you, mate. After you. Log entry. The catch, Scarlet Queen. 5:30 p.m. Wind fresh. Sky fair. Sea calm. Ship secure for night. Signed, Philip Kearney, Master.
Mutual invites you to sail into further adventure on the voyage of the Scarlet Queen next week at this same time. Scarlet Queen stars Elliot Lewis as Phil Kearney with Ed Max as Gallagher. And tonight featured William Conrad as Kim with Lillian Baeff as Su Ling. Music scored and conducted by Richard Orant. The Scarlet Queen, produced by James Burton, is written by Gil Dowd and Bob Tolman.
The Voyage of the Scarlet Queen has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
There are few of us who have not, at one time or another, had the sensation of reliving an experience which is actually new to us. Indeed, so common is this phenomenon that among psychologists it has acquired a technical name. But there is, on record, one case of a man who actually was familiar with a world that was new and strange.
It was business that took George Lawton to England in the spring of 1914. But after he had spent a few days in London, he succumbed to the temptation to visit his friend, Paul Bixby, who made his home in the historic old town of York. Lawton had never visited York before. And so almost as soon as he arrived, Bixby insisted on taking him for a long walk. He wanted most of all to show him the famous cathedral known as the Minster.
We're not terribly far from it now. I know you want to see it, George. You probably know it by the name of St. Paul's Cathedral. Is that how they refer to it in the States? I say, George, do they refer to it as St. Paul's in the States? George!
What? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't listening.
What's the matter with you, old boy? You seem so, well, so distracted.
It's a crazy thing, Bixby. This feeling I have, as if everything around here were familiar. I could swear I've been here before. I'm absolutely sure I know this town. Why, I could find my way from one end of it to the other.
Don't be absurd, George. You couldn't find your way from here to the Minster. There are all sorts of twists and turns before we get there.
Well, I won't get lost. Watch me.
And with that, George Lawton started off ahead of his friend. So quickly did he move, and with such absolute certainty, that Bixby found it difficult to keep pace with him. Down winding streets he went, and through crooked alleys. And when at last he came to a halt, he was standing at the old west door of the Minster. And Bixby, coming up to him breathless from exertion, gasped,
"By George, that's amazing. How on earth did you manage to do it?"
But Lawton was not paying very close attention to his friend. His eyes were fixed on a corner a half block down the street, a corner occupied only by a vacant lot.
Whatever happened to the inn, Bixby? The one that used to be on that corner down there?
There never was an inn there. At least, not that I can recall.
But there must have been, sometime or other. I remember it distinctly.
Later that afternoon, the two men sat in a dusty corner of the public library, huddled over an old map of the city. With eager fingers, they located the Church of St. Paul's. And then they followed the line of the street westward to the nearest corner. And there, they found a legend, written in very small script.
Site of the Golden Ox. Famous old inn. Destroyed by fire in 1628.
And so George Lawton, who had never been to York before, found that he not only knew his way around the streets, but that he even remembered a building which had not been there for almost 300 years. Is it absurd to suggest that this was actually his second visit to York? That in some former life he may even have been a resident of the ancient city? Perhaps it seems absurd. And yet, what other explanation can be offered for this baffling mystery? A mystery incredible but true.
Every door has a key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, The Key.
You've got to give me some time, Christy.
Time is something I haven't got, Hayden, boy.
Just a couple more weeks. Time, Christy, it isn't much to ask.
Who's got time to give away? You take a look at that smart wristwatch of yours. Some watch, too, should bring around.
It was a present from my mother.
But it tells the time, doesn't it? Oh, look at that center sweep.
All I'm asking you is for
something I haven't got. Look at that center sweep. See it moving around, Hayden? Look at it. You try and stop it. Just try. You break it. Someone else's watch is ticking away the seconds that run into the hours. And then pretty soon a couple of days have gone, and you're back where you started from. Time goes along all by its sweet self. I don't own any of it.
Meaning?
Hayden, boy, if I don't own anything, how can I give you any of it?
You're some friend, aren't you, Christy?
I've got to watch my investments. That's what I've got to
do. But you told me when you lent me the money you'd wait. You said you didn't mind waiting a while.
Sure, I said it, and I meant it. But Hayden, boy, I have waited a while, and I haven't minded at all. But a little while and a long while are two different times. And I could be an old gray man before your time came around. I want the money, Hayden. And I'm not even going to argue any more about it.
I say I haven't got it?
Well, now, I don't know what I'd say to that. Nothing much you could say, I suppose.
I haven't got it.
No, if a man hasn't got any money, he just hasn't got it. That's about that. Lucky thing your old lady has some money, isn't it so?
You wouldn't get a penny out of her, and I wouldn't let you ask.
All of a sudden, you're an honorable young fella, aren't you?
Look, my mother doesn't know anything about this business, and she's not going to.
Not unless I tell her. And maybe it'd be a good thing if she knew. Give her a better insight into the character of the youngest boy.
Christy, I've got to have some time.
There we go again.
$10,000, it isn't a lot of money.
Well, then how come you're having so much trouble finding it?
Well, because I'm overdrawn at the bank and I can't borrow another cent from anyone.
You are not a good credit risk, whichever way you look at it.
Well, that's about it.
Well, then, boy, how do you expect me to take any more trouble over a young scrub who admits he isn't a good credit risk? Oh, you're just asking too much, that's all.
Oh, I'll get it for you.
Tonight, Hayden. Tonight, in about 2 hours' time from now, I'll be sitting in the same chair and I'll be waiting. I want $10,000 plus $1,000 for interest.
$1,000?
Well, you agreed to interest, if I remember.
Yes, but I didn't expect... Well, I thought... Well, I mean...
You don't know what you mean. Do you think I lend my hard-earned money to young bloods like you because there's joy in my heart towards my fellow man? Do I look like a one-man philanthropic house?
You look what you are, Christy. A vulture.
Maybe I should not give you any more time. Maybe I should ring that blue-blooded old lady of yours and tell her how her son borrowed $10,000 from me to settle up some of his more pressing debts, some of which have a very distinct odor about.
2 hours?
That was the stipulated time. And you've wasted precious minutes already. Now, get out of here, boy. You make me feel like I'm talking beneath myself.
I'll get your money, Christy. I'll get it, and I'll ram it down your scrawny neck.
Just as long as I see it here, in 2 hours' time, I don't mind what you say you'll do with it. Scat, boy, I need thinking room.
Hey, you.
Me.
No one else. Sit down.
No, thank you.
Have a drink.
I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry.
Looking for $10,000 plus.
What? How do you know?
Sit down.
Okay.
Christy got you over a barrel, hasn't he?
I'll manage, thanks.
That's a laugh. When Christy gets his claws into someone, they never do manage.
What's it to you anyway?
Maybe nothing.
Maybe something.
How much money can you get your hands on?
Well, I don't know.
Legal money, I mean. Not the family silver.
Oh, well, a couple of $1,000, little more, maybe.
I have a proposition for you, Walt.
I'm not interested.
Don't you want to pay Christy? Do you want him to blab to your old lady?
I'm in too much trouble as it is without getting mixed up in something crooked. I'll get the money somehow.
Last words. Don't worry about me. I'll be there with the money. Do you know what'll happen to you when you turn up gone? When you don't give Christy Fallon his $10,000 plus, you'll wake up in an alley with a cat looking at you. And you won't be the man about town any longer. You'll have a crooked nose and a set of sore teeth. Am I getting through?
What's the proposition?
That's my boy. That's my smart boy. Well, it's like this. There's a dame in this town. She's a new arrival, and she's hot for the society level. See?
No, I don't.
With some people, it takes a little longer. She wants in with the town's 400. You happen to be one of the 400.
And you want me to introduce her around?
And you a college boy. No, Junior, I don't care if she never gets to the top. I know she is loaded. She's got it stacked on its edges. And I feel that it's wrong of a female person to have so much money and not share it around.
You're going to rob her.
He's got it.
Oh, no, thank you. I've done a lot of things, but I'm not going to rob anyone.
Very noble, too. You do not seem to grasp the idea. I'm going to soak this chick for a lot of money. Now, I don't care whether you help out or not. If you do, it'll make things a lot easier for me. If you don't, I'll still manage it. So, why don't you get wise and lend a helping hand? And, incidentally, get yourself off the hook with Christy.
I should go to the police.
The natural reaction of every red-blooded American boy. Only your red blood has thinned a little through the generations, and I don't think you have the inside to do it. And knowing full well that I'd tear your arm off and beat your head in with it. Now, what do you say, boy? Do you listen to the idea?
What have I got to lose?
That's it. That is it. What have you got to lose? Look, boy, we are going to see this doll. She's having dinner someplace downtown. We are going to meet her, and we are going to have a nice social chat.
Yeah, but where does my few $1,000 come in?
All that. You are to go and get me the money.
About $3,000, I think, will be enough. No, on second thoughts, make it $4,000. But I'll have to hock all that I...
Remember, Christie.
Okay. We need the money for a setup. We have to get an apartment downtown. We have to get some nice food and some liquid refreshment. We have to dress it up big.
I don't like it.
We invite this doll to meet some great little people. And then we go to the apartment. We have a little game of something, maybe a roulette, and she loses a lot of money. She's got a lot of money to lose. You help console a little girl, and you give her a couple of $1,000.
Give it to her?
With your own little hands, give it to her. You say, doll, I can't see you losing all your lettuce like this.
I've only got 2 hours to get $10,000. This is going to take more than 2 hours to arrange.
That's true.
Then it's a waste of time.
I shall personally see to it that Christie receives my note for your money. I'll give him my paper, something I don't do for many people. Is it a deal, kid? We need your $4,000 or I'd hand it myself. But at the moment, ready money is as scarce as hen's teeth. Tomorrow or the next day, ready money will make a carpet for us to walk on.
I'm in.
Our fortune is assured.
And all I want is my $4,000 back, plus enough to pay Christie.
You have it, boy, on the word of Harold Percival Blanket. Now, let's get ourselves downtown. I think our pigeon should be dining at the Moonlight Room. There's our pigeon. Some feather, huh?
She's very nice, isn't she?
You guys kill me. You see a doll that's out of this world, and the most you can say is very nice. Come on, let's get to work.
What do I do?
Oh, this will never work. You behave like a thoroughgoing young gentleman. That's what you do.
Well, what about you?
Worry yourself not about me, boy. I'll manage to sound okay. Now, shall we to work?
Oh, dear.
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't really notice. Dear me, I've ruined your dress.
Oh, that's all right. I'll wipe it up.
You could at least allow me to replace the drink.
Honestly, it isn't necessary.
But I insist. Don't we, Hayden? Don't we, Hayden?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, what can I do?
Relax and enjoy yourself. My name is Harold P. Blanket, the Boston Blankets.
How do you do?
I'm Hayden Seaberg,
one of the Icy Birds. Well, it never does get a laugh, does it? What are you drinking, Miss... Hey, we don't even know your name.
Shauna O'Farrell, of the Irish O'Farrell.
How do you do?
Now that we know each other, I'll buy us all a drink. What are you doing in this little town, Miss O'Farrell?
Oh, I wouldn't call it a little town, Mr. Blanket.
The longer you live in a city, the more it gets like a small town. Every time you turn a corner, you walk into a creditor.
I've invited some people up for drinks and a bite. They'll be along in a minute.
Are you sure we're not intruding?
Oh, don't be silly. I think you'll like the people. You see, I'm a social climber.
Yes, so I can...
I beg your pardon.
This is some swell apartment, Shauna. Really lovely.
Pour yourself something. I want to see they left some food for me.
Great. We don't even have to use the apartment we fixed.
But what about her friends?
Friends. Did you see the ice she's wearing?
Well, what about it?
I was going to knock her for a couple of grand, maybe 20, but she's wearing a fortune in glass. A fortune, Hayden boy.
Oh, no, I'm not having anything to do with robbery.
You'll do like you're told. That's what you'll do. Here, take this gun.
Oh, don't be silly.
You take it, boy, or I might use it on you.
Well, there's plenty to eat in the, What's the matter?
Shauna,
That is a gun, isn't it?
What? Oh, yeah, I didn't realize.
It's a gun, sister. Now, we want that you should give us all your nice baubles. No screams, please, honey pot. Just unclasp the lot. Hurry it, will you?
I'm very sorry, but I have no intention of doing any such thing.
Change your intentions. That's a good girl. Hayden, you should keep that gun on her. If she moves, you should shoot her.
You can't get away with it. I'll go to the police as soon as possible.
Sweetness, I'll be so far away, it'll take them a lifetime to find me. That's a good girlie. Grab and go, Hayden. Go on, pick it up. It isn't hot much.
I'm awfully sorry, Shauna. I can assure you this isn't any of my arrangements.
That's the lot. Now, will you get out?
For sure, but first to make sure we get a chance to get away. Stay across here and hurry. What's your car?
Next block.
Make for it.
Hey, you two.
It's a law.
Hold it. Hey, you two and the monkeys.
I'm not going to be stopped by anyone now.
I can't be.
did you run, you idiot?
Because I didn't want a policeman to find me with a pocket full of hot jewelry, that's why.
Slow this thing down. You'll have every car in town breathing down our necks.
Why didn't you do it the way we intended? Win our money at cards.
This way was quicker.
And more dangerous.
Keep your eye on the road and slow down.
All I want to do is get home and lock myself in.
You need to lock yourself in. You're as nervous as a cat.
I am not in the habit of robbing young ladies.
It grows on you. Didn't I keep telling you to slow down? Now look what's happened.
I'll have to stop.
Get around this corner. Now slow her down.
But the police.
Slow it down.
I can't afford to be stopped by the police. My mother
and... Stop here. Stop the car. I'll bust your one. I'll see you back at Benny's. We'll have to split up.
Yeah, but what about the car?
I'll leave it. See you.
Well, what about the jewelry?
Hold until I see you at Benny's. Give it about 3 hours.
Yeah, but the police.
Don't let them catch you, boy.
What do I do? What am I going to do?
This your car, young fella? My car? That's what I said.
No, sir, no, it's not my car.
See anyone get out of it?
No, yes.
Make up your mind.
Someone got out and ran that way.
You sure it's not your heat?
Positive.
You own a car?
Yes, sir.
Mind if I see your license?
Yes, I do.
I'll have to insist.
Well, I'll have to refuse. You can't force me to show you my license if I don't want to.
If we check and find this car belongs to you, you'll be in trouble. If you tell the truth now, it might save you some of that trouble.
It's not my car.
Broke about every rule in the book and some that ain't been made yet. Show me your license, please, sir.
I refuse.
Then I'll have to hold you till we check on the vehicle.
I'm sorry. I can't wait here like a common criminal.
What makes you so nervous, young fellow?
I'm not nervous.
Just cold, huh? It's not a hot car, is it?
Of course not.
How would you know if it isn't yours?
Well, because I don't know.
Traffic offenses are a bad thing, but people don't get hit up over them. You make a good excuse and pay your fine, and that's that. You'd think I was after your scalp. What is it?
I refuse to be questioned in this manner.
It's the only manner I've got. Maybe you'd like to come down to the station and let some other officer try his manner out on you.
I'm going home, and you can't stop me. I have my rights as a citizen.
Lots of other citizens live in this city, and they've got a couple of rights. They don't like to be knocked down by crazy kids in hot rods.
I am not a crazy kid, and that is not a hot rod.
This time, I want your license without any fuss and bother.
Very well, I'll have to call mine.
What's that bulge in your pocket?
Oh, it's nothing.
It's a gun.
Now, you get away from
the
me.
The gun and the license. For both. Now, come on now.
Here's my license, and... Oh, yowie.
Al, get over here, Todd.
No, sir. I can explain.
You'll get your chance.
No, I'm not going to jail. Now, get your hand away from that gun.
Don't be silly, kid.
Don't come any closer.
Make it easy on yourself, son.
I said keep away. This is all a mistake.
Ours are yours.
All right, take him, Al.
You crazy young fool.
Stop or I'll fire. Stop.
Your 2 hours isn't quite gone yet, boy.
There was a man in here earlier. I was talking to him.
People come and people go. Everyone talks to someone. I didn't ever notice.
He must have.
In trouble?
No.
Yes.
Nothing I can't get out of.
Got my money?
The heck with your money.
That's what you say.
You know a man called Harold Blanket?
Nah.
Now, where can I find him?
Wherever he is.
You want your money?
Better than that. I'm going to get it.
You'll have to help me find this Blanket character.
Son, you walked in here about 6 months ago full of social grace and the desire to see how the seamy side existed. You had yourself a ball. You gambled and got yourself mixed in with people your old lady would never know about, let alone approve. You threw your money away and begged me for a loan. I gave it to you. On conditions. The conditions being that I get it back. I want my money, boy, and I want it soon. And I'm not going to raise a sweat helping you get it. Now, get out of here.
Christy, the police are after me.
You're not the only one.
I killed a policeman, Christy.
Not Go on, scat. You kill a cop in this town and you're as hot as a $2 watch. Scat, boy, before I do some hollering. But remember, if I don't get that money, I'm going to tell your dear old lady. Now get out. Go home. Go anywhere. Scat.
Shot and killed on the corner of 7th and the Boulevard. He is armed and dangerous. Description as follows. Height 6 feet, wavy blonde hair, dressed well in dark suit, probably dinner jacket.
I've got to get out of this dinner jacket. The only thing to do is leave town. All right, so you're running away. It's nobody's neck but your own. First, that's what you've got to be. First. If I can make it across the state line, I've got a chance. Shot and killed a police officer. Shot and killed a police officer. Killed a man in cold blood. So far, so good. Another 10 miles and I'm in the clear. At least I'll have a chance. Another few miles. Just another... Oh, no. A roadblock. A roadblock all for me, just like in the movies. I'm a murderer on the run. Well, Haiti, if they catch you, you'll get the books, or you might as well give them a run. Strike one for our team. Couple more miles and I'm over the line. Oh, come on, car. Come on. Don't let me down now. No one's going to stop me now. I'm this close to no one. I'll make it if I've got to crawl on my stomach. I'll make it. I've got to. Oh, for a rotten $10,000. That's all. $10,000 and that hog Christie breathing down my neck. Tell my mother. The disgrace. We'll let him tell her now because it doesn't matter. Oh, no. They couldn't. No, I didn't mean to. Oh, no.
Stop!
No.
Stop, I say! Stop, you young fool!
Stop what for? So I can be locked up and tried and sent to the chair? So everyone can talk about me? So they can hold me up as an example? No, I'm not stopping, sir. I'm sorry, I've got to get away.
Why, son? All for a handful of glass that wasn't worth a $10 bill.
Not worth? Not worth money?
Glass and lead, that's all.
He said it was worth a fortune. $10,000 to pay back. Too much. What a fortune.
What $10,000?
To have it. Christy said. Tell mother.
Christy?
Blanket. Blanket.
You get your blanket, boy.
No. Blanket was with me. He said I should. $10,000. Only way, but I didn't want. Blanket and Christy.
Christy Fallon?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Know a guy called Harold Blanket?
Maybe.
Know a kid called Hayden Seberg?
Some.
He's dead.
Tough.
You'll have to whistle for your $10,000.
I've whistled before.
Where's Harold Blanket?
More than likely find him at Benny's.
The stupid young idiot. So he has to lose his nerve and blast a cop. Well, it ain't my fault, that much I know.
Sure it's not, honey, not one little bit. Now, how about my share of the $4,000 you got from him? I want out of this town, and I want it fast.
I wouldn't worry. By the time Hayden Seaberg stops running, he'll be in Little America.
We should have hit him for more than $4,000.
It was all he had. I knew he was a sucker when I heard him talking to Christy Fallon. But I knew we wouldn't get much more than this out of him. So what's wrong with it for a couple of hours' work? Miss Shauna O'Farrell from the Irish O'Farrells. You're good, honey. I'll give you that.
You're okay yourself.
Years of practice and the ability to pick a sucker a block away. First thing in the morning, we buy another heap of junk and move on. I'd have given my eye teeth to have seen the kid's face when that copper folded. Why, what he's doing now. Running like a fox, I'll bet.
He stopped running a couple of hours ago.
What?
He stopped running.
Who are you talking about, may I ask?
You both better make it nice and quietly, because I'm a police officer and I'm sworn to uphold the law. But I'd dearly love to blow your head off.
What?
I've never been so insulted
Don't
in my life.
Don't say a word. We'll do like the man says. Then we'll see.
Have a last listen to the music, because it is your last.
Two dead.
Two nice people, all because you saw a setup for a couple of tawdry dollars. Now walk!
A closing door finishes the story. Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery. Romance. Or adventure. All start when a door is unlocked by... the key.
The Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. Find more old-time radio at relicradio.com. All the shows are listed there, along with links to everything else Relic Radio. If you're interested in helping support Relic Radio, you can also do so clicking on the donate button at the website or visiting shop.relicradio.com. See if there's anything exciting there. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week with another hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show.